hit a subject. I don't think I'll be able to do it justice. To be honest, as I got into this, I started realizing this gets a lot deeper than maybe I was able at the present to really dig into. But if you will turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to go with, we'll just read verse 43. I don't have a lot of notes. It's not going to be real long tonight, although I probably could have. It says, "Hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name." I had a thought come to me not that long ago, and simply entitling it this: "Let the stranger pray." Let the stranger pray. Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to convey this thought here tonight. Lord, I know that in this house are people who are committed to you, who love you, who their desire is to serve you with everything they have. And Lord, they go beyond, Lord, maybe what some may do. And Lord, they seem to go beyond all of that, and they give extra, Lord, attention to the details of serving you. And God, I pray tonight that what I say would help us, Lord, that it would not at all come across in a manner, Lord, I don't want to even make us appear or feel as though we're not doing this, but God, I pray that it would encourage us to continue, Lord, to continue to open our arms and open our hearts, Lord, to help those who are struggling, those who need you. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would be with us, and Lord, that you would help each and every one here tonight. And I ask, Lord, for your touch as I preach. I need your anointing, I need your strength, and I need your help. I never can do this, Lord, without you. I recognize tonight, Lord, as I do every time I stand behind this pulpit, just how much I need you. And God, I pray, Lord, that what I say, Lord, would be what you want me to say, and nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There are times, I guess, I just get a little sentimental when it comes to the things of God. I don't mean that. Just sometimes, I guess, I'm a little more sensitive than other times. I don't know why that is, but in every single one of us, I think sometimes we have moments and times when it seems to ebb and flow in our relationship with God. And the important thing is we keep walking. And I've always prayed that God would keep me sensitive, and I always want to have that soft spot. I like it when Brother Fleming starts to give his testimony or begins to talk, and he starts to feel the presence of God and just starts crying. To me, it shows that soft spot towards God. And I've always felt that in my own heart, and I've always prayed that God would help me to keep that. I never want to lose that spot in my heart towards the things of God. Tonight, I hope I can convey this, and I hope I can go in the right way. There's when I got to looking at this term, I guess, this word, a lot of times I like to study out words, and I like to study out not just their meaning, You know, going into the Hebrew or the Greek. I wouldn't always do that. I like to do that, but I like to go in and see where passages are used and how they're used throughout scriptures and how God will use this term and how he'll follow it through scripture. And this term, the stranger, just sort of grabbed my attention. And I know there's a lot that goes into this. Believe it or not, if you read, you find that there's a lot of laws. There were a lot of laws in the Old Testament concerning the treatment of the stranger. There was laws concerning how they were to be, what they were supposed to do, and also how the children of Israel were supposed to interact with them. There were so many things. I'm not going to necessarily get into all of that tonight, but it was just a rather interesting as I was reading through those things. The term stranger, to me, at least it turned out in my mind, in my heart, is a rather interesting word. In most cases, it simply means a foreigner. It simply means not an Israelite. That's really what the term means in most cases, in a lot of the cases throughout the scripture. The foreigner was those who came from other countries to join the Israelites. They were sometimes referred to as sojourners. They would be strangers and sojourners was another way they would phrase it when they would talk about it. But the scriptures were very clear in the Old Testament on how they were to be treated and what was supposed to be done when treating the stranger. Now I'm going to hopefully make a spiritual tie here tonight. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, "Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." He goes on to let us know that thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him thou shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. In other words, you would show your fear of the Lord by how you treated the stranger. Matter of fact, many times when the stranger was mentioned, they were mentioned with the fatherless and with the widow. They were mentioned with those who had had a hardship in their life. And so it would, the scriptures here let us to know and let the Israelites to know that they were to love the stranger. Why? Because there was a time in their life when they were strangers. Now we all understand tonight that Jesus let us know that his kingdom is not of this world. Right? We all understand that we are not of this world. We are from the kingdom of God. And as of the kingdom of God, we have a responsibility, though, as people who come in, to love the strangers. Why? Because we at one time were strangers ourselves. I at one point in my life was a stranger. Now, the existence of such a class of persons came from many sources. I'm going to kind of go through these sources here for a moment as I lay this out. I won't be real long, I promise. It started in their exodus from Egypt. I don't know how many knew this or ever noticed this passage. But in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 38, the Bible says, "And a mixed multitude came up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle." In other words, you had the Israelites, and then you had a mixed multitude that came with them. You had a group of people who were not Israelites. I can imagine there were some Egyptians who said, "You know what? I recognize the power of your God. I'm just going to go ahead and join with you." There was others who said, "I want to be a part of you." And they came out of Egypt with the Israelites. There was a mixed multitude that accompanied them out that formed one element of these strangers. There was the Canaanitish population. You know that the children of Israel were supposed to go in. They were supposed to take the promised land. They were supposed to take that land of Canaan that was supposed to be theirs. But what happened? They did not drive out all of the inhabitants. They left some there. There were some that were never fully extirpated. And so they themselves formed another group of strangers. Then there were the captives. that were taken from war. They were brought back. There were the fugitives. There were the hired servants. There were the merchants. The number of these various sources must have been at times a pretty large number. Matter of fact, Solomon made a census and gave a census about this. He said in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 17, "And Solomon numbered all the strangers that were in the land of Israel, after the numbering wherewith David his father had numbered them. And they were found 153,600. In other words, 153,600 people were strangers in Israel, meaning they were not of Israelite nationality. In many of these cases, while they lived in Israel, for all of those various reasons that I mentioned, there was one thing that made them a stranger. And that was that they were a person whose citizenship and even loyalty belonged to a different country. In other words, they were not citizens of Israel. They were among them. They lived among them. They worked among them. They were captives among them. But yet they were not Israelites. They lived there. They worked there. They stayed there. They made lives there. But they were not an Israelite. They were a stranger. And so it is this thought that Solomon makes this prayer at the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings 8 and 41. He says, "Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name and of thy strong hand and of thy stretched arm." You gotta get this. They see it. They recognize it. But they don't fully understand it. They see, wait a minute, there's something about their God. There's something about the God they serve. There's something that is taking place there. I recognize the difference. They may not fully understand everything. They may not even have their allegiance right at this point. When he shall come, I want you to notice Solomon's prayer. "And when he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for." Solomon said, let the stranger pray. Let those who have recognized, wait a minute, there's something about that God you serve. Wait a minute, there's something that I feel. There's something that I recognize. Solomon said, wait a minute, don't cast them off. Let them pray. And God, I want you to answer their prayer. That all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. He says, I want God, when they pray, I want you to hear them. I want you to answer them. I want you to hear what they're saying, and I want you to touch them. There should be something inside of each and every one of our hearts. When somebody walks through these doors, they may not look like us. They may not act like us. Matter of fact, they may not love God the way we love God.
and into our minds. They may even be strangers, just like we were at one time strangers. But there should be something inside of us that says, let them pray. Let them find a place where they can talk to God. Matter of fact, I'll join with them. I'll pray with them, and I'll pray for them. God bless them. God touch them. God work on them. Why? Because I want them to call on the same God that I call. I want them to find him just as real in their life as I have found him in my own life. I want them to see him just as true as I have seen him. I want them to experience him just like I have. It became apparent by the New Testament that the attitude toward the stranger had changed drastically. They had become so closed off that Jesus actually addresses it in Matthew 25 and verse 40. Matter of fact, Jesus had to address it pretty much throughout. And the church itself struggled with it in Acts. Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger. I was a stranger. And you didn't care enough to take me in. I was naked and you clothed me not. I was sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? And he says it the second time. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, ye did it not. Jesus told us and showed us the example of how we are to treat the stranger. Oh, that seems like a cruel word to use. It seems like a rough word to use. And if somebody walked in these doors and I called them a stranger, it may not seem like the right thing to say to them. But you must understand the context of this passage and the context of the Bible, because I also understand that there was a time when I was a stranger. There was a time when you were a stranger. There was a time when all of us needed a God in our life. The most important thing is that we do not forget we once were. With everything that this world is going through and all the changes and all the calamity and all the crazy ideals that are out there and being pushed and being taught, we tell you, people have a long way to go. I can't expect them to walk through these doors in a week or two all of a sudden look and act like a Christian. No, I got a long way to go. But does that mean you're not welcome here? Does that mean I say, no, you can't be a part? No, that's not what I'm saying. You know what I do? I love them as I love my own. I care for them like I care for my own. Because let me show you what happens. And I'm getting ready to close, right? I told you I was going to be quick. The best sermon, when it's not a good sermon, is a short sermon. All right, Jared's taking notes. Oh, Jasper, is that notes or a picture? I'm teasing. Jester's my buddy. That is one good kid. If there's a kid we all need to rally around, right there, you see him. That's a good kid. He needs a church body that loves him and cares for him. Got a soft spot in my heart for Jasper. But let me show you what happens when we let the strangers pray. Because Ephesians 2 verse 19, Paul says something. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Now you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. How do I become this? What happens? Watch what it says. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. There was once I was a stranger, but now I'm a fellow citizen. They may come in a stranger, but before long, they become a fellow citizen. You see, in the Old Testament, I should have probably wrote this all out and made it fancy. In the Old Testament, the way for the foreigner to become a fellow citizen was through the law of circumcision. In the New Testament, the Bible lets us know that baptism becomes the new covenant for circumcision. And to be a fellow citizen means to be born again. They may start off a stranger. They may come in a stranger. But if we let them pray, if we let them seek God, if we love them, if we pray for them, if we work with them, before long, they become a fellow citizen. Yeah. How many years ago was that? Before I was even born. Got a long citizenship. Thing is, I never forget that once I was a stranger also. I've heard the stories. That's why I like to hear the stories of where God brought each of you from. Because we all recognize, we know just where God brought us from and what he's done in our lives. Let's stand. I told you I wouldn't do this quite justice. It's good to see Brother Lennington here tonight. I just want to close in prayer tonight. I just want to pray for all of us. Is that okay? Can I do that? You know, Olivia, Sergey, won't get him. I want each of us to remember Sergey in prayer this week. It's Olivia's friend, and there's times he's an atheist, there's times he's agnostic, there's times he don't know what. He's a very intelligent young man. Very intelligent young man. He's got a doctorate, right?
He's working on his doctrine. That's good enough for me. But he's a young man who's hurting, confused, bewildered, depressed. And somehow he feels comfortable with Olivia. He feels he can talk to her. And we need to pray that God gives her wisdom and direction, and pray that God touches his heart. Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us here tonight. God, I don't know why this seems to be a recurring theme in my heart today, Lord, of just looking back and where you brought me from and what you've done in my life. I just feel so thankful today. God, I just feel so thankful for all that you've done. God, I never want to lose sight and never want to take for granted just what you've done and just where you've brought me from. And Lord, not even necessarily looking for what things you're going to do in my future, but just being thankful for what you've done already. Because Jesus, if you've never done another thing in my life, Lord, you've done more than enough already. And I'm so thankful to you. Jesus, I'm thankful for my family and, Lord, for my church. And God, for, Lord, each person that you've brought into my life. And God, they all mean so much to me. And God, I pray, Lord, a blessing on each and every one of them. Lord, as I stand here before them today, and God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us. Lord, to remember back just to what you've done and, Lord, what you've taken us from, recognizing that there was a time when we were far from you, but you had such mercy and compassion on us that you restored us, and God, you've saved us and you've delivered us. And Lord, you've done so many things in our lives, and God, I pray, Lord, that we would be willing and able to afford the same opportunities to each of those that you're going to bring in the next 6 months. God, for those who are going to walk through these doors, and Lord, maybe the children who come at VBS, maybe their parents, and maybe others, Lord, who just come, who are drawn by your Spirit. And God, I pray, Lord, that our arms would be reaching, that this church, Lord, would be ever reaching to them, that our love for them would be not just, Lord, it would be something more than they've ever experienced anywhere else they've gone, that they would feel that true concern, that true love. And God, I pray, Lord, they would recognize, Lord, that they have something here that is real. God, touch each one, Lord, bless them. And God, I pray for Sergey right now. God, I pray, Lord, that you would stir his heart. God, I pray, Lord, that you would deal with him one more time, help him to see his need for you. God, I pray for Olivia that you give her the words to say. Lord, that when she is talking to him and when he is sharing his thoughts and he's sharing things with her, Lord, that you would quicken her spirit. God, put words in her mouth, Lord, that she'd never even thought. God, allow her to speak as an unction used by you, to be an oracle used by you. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon her. God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch each and every one. Lord, help us all, Lord, to allow you to speak through us, to use us in whatever capacity that you would choose, whatever you would desire, whatever you would want. Lord, help us to be willing and able, Lord, to do anything and everything that you're calling for us. And Lord, one more time, I pray your blessings on each and every one that's here tonight. I ask, Lord, manifold blessings in their lives. God, touch them spiritually. Help each one of us to grow in a greater relationship with you, Lord. Touch them physically. God, I pray, Lord, there's a number that need healings in their body. They need strength from you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, that you would strengthen us, God, that you would heal in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for those who may be struggling, Lord, with different thoughts and things that may be bombarding them right now. I pray, Lord, that you would touch, God, that you would
God, cast down every imagination and high thing that would exalt itself against your knowledge. God, I pray, Lord, God, that you would help each one of us, Lord, as we walk with you and we desire to live our lives for you. Lord, I pray for Sister Schaefer right now. Lord, I pray that you go to where she is. Lord, that you heal her body in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm believing you for a healing right now. In Jesus' name, touch each one. In Jesus' name, amen.